thanks, and we'll do better next time. Hallelujah. I decided last Tuesday I was going to start preaching Thanksgiving sermons leading into Thanksgiving. And then I decided one of my favorite songs is I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Of course, that's Psalm 100, verse 4. I thought about that song, thought about that verse. And I thought, you know, we should enter everything with praise and thanksgiving. Not just enter his courts and his gates with thanksgiving. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. So we should enter everything with thanksgiving. So I was thinking about that, and I had a few hundred thoughts on it, and beginning to write them down, and then I thought, it's really not fair to just do all of this on one verse of Scripture, because that's not really an expository sermon. And I like to expound on the Word of God and not just one verse and one thought. That turns it into a topical sermon. And I like Bible sermons. So I decided I would do the whole chapter, the entire chapter, all five verses. So I want to read Psalm 100 to you, and then I want to give you some thoughts on it. But before I do that, I want to share something with you that you probably don't know. Did you know that this is the model psalm? This is the model psalm. In the New Testament, we have the model prayer that teaches us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And every prayer that we pray, our daily prayer, ought to be modeled after that prayer. That doesn't mean we're supposed to say those same words every day, but it does mean that we're to take the outline of that prayer and make it the outline of our own personal prayer that we pray in every day as we do our daily devotion time to God. Well, this is a model song telling us how we ought to worship and praise the Lord. So with that in mind, pay attention to the words of it. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you help us to understand your word this morning as we dig a little deeper into it. Father, I pray that as we pay attention to this psalm this morning, we'll learn more about how to worship you. And Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are at least 22 different words in the Hebrew Old Testament, 22 Hebrew words that tell us how to worship. Now, I could give you a list of all of those words, but you're not going to know, you're not going to remember a one of them when we leave here this morning. But I am going to list the ones that are mentioned in this psalm to you this morning. I just want you to know that those words in the Hebrew language give us ideas of how God wants us to worship Him. There is a word that simply means lift your hands before the Lord. And that's why Pentecostals lift their hands when they praise the Lord. There is a word that means clap. Clap before the Lord. Give a praise offering of clapping. There is a word that means falling prostrate before the Lord. Laying out on the ground. Falling out on your face before God. And that's a way of praising God. It's laying out before Him. Totally surrendering. There's a word that we'll look at here this morning that means to kneel before the Lord. And that's actually in this passage that we're going to study. There's a word that means to sing. Actually, there are at least three different Hebrew words that mean to sing. To sing to the Lord. And there is a word that means to shout. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. To shout, to praise the Lord with a shout, with a loud voice. And we're going to see that also in our text this morning. And it doesn't mean that we have to do all of these when we praise God, but it does mean that these are acceptable in His sight. And praise and worship is us connecting to God. And so we worship God in ways that are comfortable to us. We worship God in ways that are acceptable to us. For instance, if you have your best clothes on, you may not want to lay on the floor on your face. Or you might just say, God, I don't care. I just love You. And lay out on the floor. If you have bursitis in your shoulder, you may have difficulty lifting your hands or your arms before God. And He's not going to force you to do that. But if you're a young man, you might just do that. And most of us here this morning are not the best dancers. But there is a passage of the last psalm, actually, Psalm 150, that talks about dancing before the Lord. And those are all acceptable ways to praise the Lord. So with that in mind, I want us to go back and look again at this passage. In verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And the word noise there is the Hebrew term ruah. And ruah is a primitive root that means to mar something, to break something. And so it says, break before the Lord. And it's talking about breaking the silence. The King James says, make a joyful noise. The word noise is the important word there. Now, if you look at the New Living Translation, it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then if you look at the New American Standard Bible, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And this is that word ruah. as I said, the King James Version translates it noise. These other translations translate it as shout. Shout. So think about this for a moment. This is their beginning of worship. Starting out worship, you make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make a joyful whisper. Hello? It does not say have a joyful thought. It doesn't say have a joyful look on your face. It says make some noise. Make some noise. That's the meaning of this text. Make some noise. And I've been amazed over the years at how many times I've gone to ball games with brothers and sisters in Christ and seen them stand up and really, you know, get loud, holler, shout. And yet in church, they're just as quiet as they can be. They sit quietly in their seat. They never lift their voice. And I've often wondered about why we do that, because I'm just like you are. I tend to be quiet as well. I remember when I first went to the Assemblies of God, I came to the Assemblies of God out of the Baptist church. And we started an Assembly of God church in Socorro, New Mexico. They sent us to this church that was supposed to be a church, but there were two college boys in it, three actually, and one of them left the next week. I never got to find out what an Assembly of God church was supposed to be like. I didn't know the difference between an Assembly of God and a Baptist church or whatever else. I went from being Assembly of God to being independent charismatic, and then from being independent charismatic to being Assembly of God. From Baptist to independent charismatic to Assembly of God. I might have said that wrong the first time. I started out as a Southern Baptist, and then I started an independent charismatic church, and then I was asked to pastor an Assembly of God church in Socorro, New Mexico. But I didn't really know what Assembly of God was like. I knew their doctrine, and I knew I agreed with their doctrine. That's why I joined. I knew their missions program, and I knew I agreed with their missions program, and that's why I joined. But I didn't really know how they worshiped. And we went to these big meetings in New Mexico. We went to their camp meeting. And, oh, I was like, this is not my world. I don't know if I'm really part of this or not. I'd see these pastors get up and just wail, you know. They'd be praying, and then they would just start wailing, you know. Really loud wailing, and I was just like, I don't know if I'm part of that. I don't know if I fit in with that. And then we'd go to district council, and it seemed to me like all the pastors at district council were trying to get louder than the other, you know. One wanted to be louder than the next. And they'd get up and they'd give their testimony or whatever they're supposed to do. You know, they're supposed to take up the offering. But instead of taking up the offering, they'd give this 20-minute testimony. And the service is supposed to be 2 hours long, and the guy that was the evangelist that was there to preach wouldn't even get the microphone until 2 hours into the service. I mean, it was a drag. So I really wondered about all of that. But I'm just saying, they'd get up and they would just make noise. And that bugged me. Really did. Irked me. But you kind of grow into it. You get to where it doesn't bother you anymore. And then I got to where I bugged them. They asked me to do a youth service. And I got up in the youth service. And I said, "Give me a J!" And everybody gave me a J. "Give me an E!" Everybody gave me an E. "Give me an S! What's that spell?" You know, "Jesus! Jesus!" I had everybody shouting Jesus. And they're like, "I don't know if we want this guy." But I've learned that we are to make a joyful noise. And it's okay to shout. But we tend to be afraid of it. Are we afraid that if we make noise at church that God might notice us and follow us home? I don't know what our problem is. Are we afraid that if we make noise at church that somebody might go home and say, "Boy, Roger really got noisy today"? Or, "Boy, Roger really drew attention to himself today"? I think that's often what we're afraid of, isn't it? That somebody might point the finger at us and say, "He drew attention to himself." But the question comes back, if I said, "Jesus is Lord," or I said, "God is good," am I drawing attention to myself or am I drawing attention to God? So, I think it's okay for us to be loud in church because the Bible says it is. And I think we need to be careful about judging other people when they're loud in their worship, because the Bible says it's okay. God deserves our attention. And he tells us to make a joyful noise unto him. Then in Psalm 100 verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Serve. That word "serve" is the Hebrew word abad. And it means to work. It implies to serve or to become a slave, to become a bond servant. And spiritually, it means to worship, to become a worshiper. And many of the newer translations use the English word "worship" to translate this Hebrew term. Worship the Lord. Worship him. I like the King James Version here because I like the word "serve." And "serve" reminds us that it's not just 1 hour on a Sunday each week, but it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? That's how often we serve the Lord, every hour of every day. We should serve the Lord all the days of our life. And a life of serving God is the result of being grateful for all that he has done. I also like the fact that we're told to serve the Lord with gladness. And when you know what you're doing, it's easy to be glad about it. when you know who you're serving and why you're serving him, it's easy to be glad about that. We have songs that talk about worshiping God and talk about serving God, talk about how great God is. In essence, we have songs that are about God and songs that are to God. We have songs that talk about the power in the blood, and we have songs that just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. You know, at one church, we would from time to time have a praise service. And it was nothing but praise and worship. There was no preaching, no teaching, no testimony time, just worship. And I love to worship. I often sing to God. In fact, I think I sing to God probably every waking minute of every day. I've got a song in my heart. Often it's the same song over and over and over again. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. More of you. What I noticed about those services, though, was that you could tell by the look on people's faces that they were entering into something pleasant, something joyful, something that made them glad, something that made them happy. And so in Psalm 100, verse 2, where it says, serve the Lord with gladness. When we worship the Lord and we recognize who he is, in my opinion, the gladness just follows. It just can't help but come. And I'll tell you a little bit more about why as we get into this passage deeper. Then it says in verse 2, come before his presence with singing. And this is the word rinana. And rinana means a joyful song, singing with a joyful voice. And I won't get into it this morning, but I'll just say that praise silences the enemy and steals the avenger. Praise brings victory over the enemy. And I have a testimony of a young boy named Willie Merrick from back in 2014. I want to share his story this morning.
10-year-old Willie Myrick loves playing the drums, something he hopes one day to do at his church. Born to atheist parents, Willie was raised by his godmother, Codetta Bateman, who took him to church. It was there that he learned about God and developed a passion for the Bible.
Pastor, he talks about, like, different scriptures, and we're on Genesis 31 now. But he tells us a little stuff about him, and he goes over it every Sunday.
Codetta says she's seen Willie's faith blossom over the years.
Faith is important to this house and everything, and believing in God is important. So I should, you know, in this house we go to church. He know God, he know Jesus.
While most kids his age are busy playing video games, Willie spends his free time studying the Word of God. His favorite scripture?
Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He says God is his best friend.
I always think that God is with me everywhere I go. Like when I'm in bed, he has a chair, he's just watching.
CBN News got a taste of his love for memorizing the books of the Bible.
Okay, ready? Go.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth.
In April, while playing with his dog in the front yard of his Atlanta home, Willie came face to face with a kidnapper, putting his childlike faith to the test.
Some guy came up in a silver or gray Honda Accord, man-tussled me in the car.
He man-tussled you in the car.
Willie says he wanted to yell for help, but the man covered his mouth. Traumatized, Willie feared for his life.
Cursing. I was thinking that he was going to hurt me real bad.
Thrown into the back of a locked car, Willie's fear soon gave way to faith in the form of a gospel song he learned at church. He began singing it in the back seat.
God's my deliverer. Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God.
The popular song Every Praise by Grammy Award-winning artist Hezekiah Walker is one of Willie's favorites.
I knew it by heart. I sang it, the whole thing by heart. And God, if you praise the Lord, he'll help you in a mysterious way.
Despite repeated threats, Willie sang nonstop while the man drove around for 3 hours.
I was just singing passion and pride, so I didn't care what happened.
Agitated by the constant singing, the man eventually let Willie out of the car. He was shaken but unharmed.
I guess he was mad, so he dropped me out.
Willie ran to a nearby home and called his godmother. Police have no leads in the case, but have released this sketch of the man who kidnapped Willie. While she rejoices over his safe return, Willie's godmother continues to pray for the capture of the kidnapper.
He need to be caught. He got to be caught.
Willie's story made headlines around the world, leading to talk show appearances like Arsenio Hall. He even got the chance to perform his song of deliverance with Walker. While he's enjoying being in the media spotlight, he says he's just an ordinary kid who serves an extraordinary God.
It really doesn't matter to me. As long as I still have Jesus and he's still working, doing his little magic. Well, it's not magic, it's just power.
Charlene Aaron, CBN News, Atlanta.
Awesome. Isn't that an awesome story? He got kidnapped, but he kept singing praises to God and the kidnapper let him go. Could not handle it. In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." And this is why we worship. He is God and not us. This statement settles so many questions and arguments. He is God. I was in a really long debate with a guy one time over Noah's Ark. And the guy kept coming back at me and coming back at me. This was back when email first started. And this guy was an atheist that lived down the street from the church. And he was trying to prove to me that the Bible was wrong and that my belief in God was wrong. And I don't know what he thought he was doing, or what he thought he was going to do by trying to prove all of that. But he kept throwing all of these different arguments at me that, oh, I don't see how Noah could have built that ship. I don't see how he could have got all those animals in that ship. I don't see how there was enough food to feed all the animals in that ship. And I said, finally, you know, you're leaving out the most important part. You're saying Noah did all of that. You're not recognizing that God's the one who shut the door on the ark. And God's the one who took care of the animals on the ark. And God's the one who caused the rain to stop. And God's the one who opened the door on the ark and set all the animals free. I said, you're trying to make it as though Noah did all of that. You're trying to take God out of the story. And he says, oh, well, if you're going to put God in the story, then there's no way I can argue against that. And I said, well, that's my point. The Bible says God did it. God did it. And when we realize that God is our creator and that God is still God, and that there's nobody like God, that God is all-powerful, there's nobody as powerful as God, God is all-knowing, nobody knows as much as God. When we realize all of those things, it settles a lot of our issues. It settles our debates. He's the one that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. He even owns the pasture that we live on. He owns this earth. And then, so this is the part of the reason why we worship. It's because we recognize who God is. And then verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The word for thanksgiving here is todah. And it refers to an extension of the hand. It implies a sacrifice, such as a sacrifice of praise or a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So first we enter the gates of the court, and then we enter into the court. First we enter the gates, and then we enter the court. And so, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I will enter his gates with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's what that word todah means. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And if you don't have anything to thank God for, then that's the perfect opportunity to bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because you can thank God anyway. If you can't think of anything to thank God for, then just start thanking him anyway. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. That's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You're offering it up before you ever see the results. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is the greatest form of faith. That's like saying, Lord, I thank you. I don't see the answer yet, but I know you have an answer, and I know it's coming, and I give you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And Lord, I come into your presence with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I come into your presence thanking you for who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. And then it says, I'll enter his courts with praise. And the word for praise there is the Hebrew word tahilah. Tahilah. And it means to sing. But very interesting thing about this word, this term. This is the same Hebrew term that is found in Psalm 22, verse 3, where it says, God inhabits the tahilah, the praises of his people. God inhabits the tahilah of his people. So we enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, rather, and his courts with praise, tahilah praise, singing, worship. And as we enter his gates with thanksgiving, it's sort of like, to me, it's sort of like driving my new car. Let me explain what that's all about. My new car, well, it's actually 2 years old now, but my 2018 Honda Accord has a cruise control on it that has radar, and it also reads the lines on the highway. And it also knows through the GPS what the speed limit is. And the radar can pick up the cars that are all around me. So I get the car, pull it out of the driveway, go down to the stop sign. I have to stop on my own and then come to the street light. I have to stop on my own, and I finally get it out to the interstate, and I put it on 75 miles an hour, and I'm done. That car will stay in its own lane. It will have a safe following distance and its own cruise control. It'll stay safely in the lane and safely behind anything ahead of it. And to me, that's what God inhabiting our praises is like. We have to work our way there. Like, we have to be able to stop at our own stop sign. We have to be able to stop at our own street sign. But eventually, we get on the interstate of praise. And the Spirit of God just begins to take over. And he begins to inhabit our praises. We've worshiped him and praised him. And there's now something within us that just stirs us. And if you've never experienced it, you can. You just have to work into it. You just have to worship the Lord. And as you worship the Lord, you can come to this place to where he inhabits your praises. Maybe you'll even shift into praising God in the Spirit. You know, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul says, I will praise the Lord with my understanding, and I will praise him in the Spirit. And he talks about those being two different things. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. There comes a point in our praise to where it's just God inhabiting our praises. We just start to sing praises to Him, and eventually He begins to direct our praises from our spirit within. That's the Tehillah praises of God. When God inhabits our praises and we can sing in the Spirit, He can guide us in what we sing because He inhabits our praises. Be thankful unto Him. Yada is the word for thankful. And thankful here means to extend the hand out, to shoot out the hand. The same word is also used to describe shooting an arrow, yada. And I think it describes, I don't know, I couldn't find any lexical proof of this, but my opinion is that it means we bring an offering to God in thanksgiving and gratitude to Him. And then bless His name. And the word for bless here is barak. Barak. And it means to kneel. And by implication, to bless God is an act of adoration. Bless His name. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for. This is telling us why. This is the reason. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. There are two very powerful words in Hebrew. Two terms that mean so much to the Hebrew people. And one of those words is the Hebrew word hesed. In English we would spell it H-E-S-E-D. Hesed. And that is the word that is translated mercy here. And the other is the word emunah. Emunah. And it means faithfulness. And these are two covenant terms, two part of God's covenant to His people. His hesed and His emunah. And those are the reasons. Those are the reasons why we should praise and worship the Lord and give thanks to Him. King James Version says, His truth endureth to all generations. His emunah. Many translations say, His faithfulness. It doesn't matter to me whether we want to call it His truth or whether we want to call it His faithfulness. It's worthy of being shared with our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren to all generations. We talk about God's truth, God's faithfulness, and God's mercy, His hesed. Let's pray.